folks, and welcome to The Farm, a podcast dedicated to culture, parapolitics, and high weirdness in all its many forms. This is your host, Recluse, aka Steven Snyder, the longtime curator of the Visa blog and author of The Art, The Secret History of Cywar, Conspiratainment, and the Shattering of Reality, Book 1. All right, sports fans, it is February 17th, 2024, and this is your long overdue State of the Union address. It probably goes without saying, but geopolitical events continue to unfold at a breakneck pace, and I'm going to do my best to highlight a few of the major developments here. So we will start off by looking at good old Ukraine. As with much of the rest of the world, there's been some interesting developments here. So the big news is that after months of speculation, President Zelensky finally sacked General Valery Zaluzhny. Zaluzhny had been on the ropes for quite a time. The announcement was made, I believe, on February 8th, though apparently Zelensky had informed Zaluzhny that he was finally being deposed roughly 10 days in advance. So going back to around the end of January, I imagine the grace period was probably a time frame of negotiations to potentially stave off a coup d'etat. Obviously, there have been a lot of rumblings about Zelensky's long-term viability as the head of the Ukrainian state. Only time will tell, obviously. It was widely believed that Ukraine's military intelligence chief, Budanov, would be the one to succeed Zaluzhny as the head of Ukraine's military forces, but that does not seem to be the case. Budanov is probably the guy most closely connected with the OUNB factions here in the state and a lot of the other really hardline fascist elements within the Ukrainian government. So I imagine that was probably Zelensky's one kind of rabbit trick that he was able to pull out of his top hat here, was preventing Budanov from assuming command of all the military forces. Presumably he is simply continuing as Ukraine's military intelligence chief. The official replacement as Ukraine's top commander was Oleksandr Sirsky, who has been commanding Ukraine's ground forces since the onset of Russia's invasion. It probably goes without saying, but things did not start off very well for Sirsky. His early days on the job saw Ukrainian forces evacuating Avdiivka, I believe, in the Donbas. This was the first major Russian military achievement since essentially last May, when Wagner was able to take over Bakhmut, I believe, in the same general region here. So again, not great developments for Ukraine. The forces were apparently on the verge of being surrounded when Sirsky was finally forced to withdraw them, essentially. It was apparently an orderly withdrawal, in fairness. Seems like there was at least a fair amount of planning, and it was executed fairly smoothly. But yet again, it's another embarrassment for the US/UK/NATO endeavors in Ukraine. This is coming on top of any number of bizarre incidents that have unfolded there. Again, you could also point to, I believe, the 26 Ukrainian POWs who were being returned by the Russians, which spurred the Ukrainians to shoot down the plane and kill their own POWs. Again, these were reportedly some of the more openly fascistic of the Ukrainian forces, so that might have been a factor, but who really knows? But suffice to say, it's just becoming an absolute disaster there. In the United States, funding for Ukraine and continuing the conflict is still being bogged down in the House of Representatives. I think the most latest incarnation The defense spending bill as of this recording is a, gosh, I think it's almost $100 billion aid package or something to that effect that would also provide funding to Israel as well as Taiwan for the ongoing or suspected ongoing military operations in those particular regions. So who knows how this will ultimately play out. I believe the EU was able to drum up something like $50 billion in funding, but nonetheless, it's starting to really get dire for the Ukrainian forces in terms of armaments, bullets, ammunition, pretty much everything they're starting to run out of, based on a lot of the reports that have been coming out, many of them from the legacy media to boot. So it seems that there's pretty compelling evidence that the Ukrainian war effort is possibly lurching to a standstill here. Of course, there has been speculation for months now that Zelensky's deteriorating relationship with Zelensky was driven by his peace overtures to the Russian regime. That obviously did not play well with, I would say, most likely a lot of Zelensky's backers here in the West. A few of them are remaining, are, suffice to say, pretty fanatical. So, yeah, it's anybody's guess how all of this is going to ultimately end, though I suppose the one thing that we can say for sure is that there are still many dead Ukrainians and Russians and any number of Western private military contractors still to shed their lifeblood on the blood-drenched grounds of Ukraine going into 2024. On that note, things are also just looking stellar in the Middle East, right? In the past few days from this recording, Israel launched a series. It was on February 14th, specifically Valentine's Day, so nice touch there. Israel launched an airstrike in Lebanon that killed at least seven civilians in an attempt to target senior members of Hezbollah. This is yet another escalation of the ongoing conflict in Lebanon and raises, again, a lot of disturbing possibilities. Most likely, as Biden heads into an election year and with the deteriorating support that he's experiencing in his own party, due in no small part to his ongoing support of Israel, I think that the US will be doing everything in its power to prevent this conflict from escalating beyond Palestine proper. But again, there is just a lot of interesting dynamics to all of this. Of course, in the last couple of days, I believe Biden had again broached the subject of Palestinian statehood, which Netanyahu immediately put the kibosh on. A big surprise there. But again, this is bringing up a lot of intriguing developments as we head into US presidential elections here in 2024. Netanyahu was a major supporter of Donald Trump. The Israel-Palestine situation has been a major drag on Biden, and I think that Netanyahu is trying to force perpetual support from whatever regime comes into play here, but specifically if Biden is to remain in power, by not escalating things further in the Middle East. If he was to essentially try to expand the conflict into Lebanon, that would really put the Biden administration in a tough spot because they would almost inevitably have to double down and support Israeli efforts there. But it's, you know, again, it's just going to be an even bigger disaster amongst a lot of progressive elements of the left in the United States if he were to go on that course. But again, you know, you already have the what I guess is now the ongoing assault on Rafah, I believe, This is the one area essentially left in the West Bank, supplies, medical aid, that kind of thing, are able to get in and reach the Palestinians. So this is again a major issue with the Israelis starting to deploy tanks and infantry in there. So God knows how that is going to play out. It's also starting to perpetuate an ongoing crisis in Egypt with the refugees there and a lot of other issues as well. So there is a lot of, I mean, again, it probably goes without saying, but the region was already awash in instability, but we're getting even closer to a breaking point with all of this. And Netanyahu, at a minimum, is in a position where he's probably looking at facing criminal charges if the war were to end in the near future at this point. So, I mean, this is just, it's not just his political life, but it's his freedom in a lot of ways that he's fighting for here. And I mean, his freedom in the sense of not ending up in a prison cell, and potentially even if he's sent out of Israel, where he could probably justly be charged with crimes against humanity at what the European World Court or some other stage trial like that. But regardless, Netanyahu has got to be a major concern for the Biden administration going forward as to whether or not he will escalate the situation there. And by doing so, he could also potentially turn the election for Trump. So again, it's going to be interesting to see how the Biden administration and Trump supporters approach Netanyahu in this situation as the election cycle here in the United States starts to heat up here, because in a lot of ways, he definitely holds the key to either expanding or minimalizing the conflict in that region of the world as we get into November. So, yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on with all of that. Well, anyway, I guess on that note, we can start getting in here to domestic developments in the United States. So you currently have a lot of big media shit storms breaking out over, well, initially you've got the whole thing that what is it? Tucker goes to Moscow to interview Putin, right? So you've seen a lot of the predictable psychodrama effectively playing out over this. Everybody on the right is going on about how reasonable Putin sounded. In fairness, I mean, he did come off as being fairly reasonable in much of the interview. Conversely, you've seen a lot of hysteria being leaked out in the legacy media. The first one was the whole threat of Russia deploying space weapons. We had a call for a congressional committee on this, and Biden to declassify information on this, even though it was later acknowledged that this is not a near-term threat. Probably goes without saying, but yeah, essentially Putin is allegedly considering deploying space-based nuclear weapons on satellite platforms, I suppose not unlike what Kubrick and Clark predicted in 2001. So yeah, maybe that will also come into play here going forward. But again, you can be sure that we have probably also explored the possibility of nuclear weapons in space. So yeah, I don't like the prospect of the Russians having them up there, but I'm sure the Chinese are also considering it, every other country that has the capabilities of this, and you sure as hell know that we in NATO are in the UK. So there's nobody here who's not guilty, I assure you, on this subject. So anyway, that whole ploy basically crashed and burned, and the next one was bringing up the recent death of Russian political dissident Alexei Navalny, who apparently died in custody. He was one of the major opposition leaders to Putin. And again, it's valid. I mean, Putin certainly has had his political prisoners killed. This is probably a surprise to anybody who's followed any of this. And once again, it's not really generating a lot of traction because, again, is anybody really shocked that Putin is an autocrat who has his political prisoners killed? Just because he does that doesn't mean that we should try to wage a tactical nuclear war with him over this matter, though. Not saying that this makes him a hero of the right. It certainly doesn't. The guy is certainly suspect and does not have the US's best interests at heart. But once again, it's not worth World War III over these kinds of developments. I'm probably preaching to the choir with this, but yeah. So anyway, you have a lot of these different arguments playing out right now between the pro and anti-Putin crowds and the right and the left, and it's lovely and so on and so forth, I guess, as far, I guess, as political theater is concerned. So the next thing is that the state of New York fined Donald Trump over $300 million or something to that effect over one of the countless lawsuits that are currently hovering around the orange one. It will probably be repelled once it goes into additional courts. But again, who really knows? But one of the interesting things about this that has been discussed is the possibility that there might be a trucker strike against New York. This is interesting because it's really being hyped up a lot on Twitter in the last couple of days, but apparently a what is believed to be a trucker on, excuse me, on X going by Chicago One Ray had proclaimed, you don't fuck around and find out or something to that effect, and possibly that he and other truckers are considering boycotting New York over the recent lawsuit against the Orange One. I'm really dubious as to whether or not there had actually been any kind of plan for a massive boycott of New York, but it definitely seems like there has now become a push on X to try and bring something like this about. I think this has been viewed now by something like 3 million users on X. So yeah, that would definitely be interesting to see if groceries and other essential goods are going to be cut off from New York as ramifications for this. And frankly, I think that this is the kind of stuff that we could really be looking at more so as we get into the 2024 election. I mean, obviously, we know that both sides are going to use social media to the hilt, but I do think these kinds of massive strikes are going to become more popular. Obviously, we already saw how the trucker strikes in Canada, I think about a year or so ago, were very, actually, I think it was closer to 2 years, but whatever. They were quite effective over there. You've seen recent strikes also breaking out among farmers in the EU. And again, I'm not saying that there's not legitimacy to some of these strikes, especially with the just draconian laws that the EU is currently trying to impose on farmers over there. It does make a lot of sense. But nonetheless, let's not kid ourselves. There's a lot of suspect actors that are going to try and latch on to these movements and guide them to their own ends, to put it mildly. And you might see something really interesting developing if they are able to get enough truckers to go forward with this. New York is a major blue city, and that would certainly be curious. And it's, again, kind of indicative of what has almost become a low-key civil war breaking out in the United States between various states and cities, effectively. On the same note, I'm kind of reminded of the efforts of Texas and some of the other border states to bus migrants into the cities over there, so-called sanctuary cities, which again has been very disastrous for NYC and some of the other major blue cities in this regard. So, yeah, I mean, these are probably going to be the kind of tactics that you're seeing more and more of going into 2024. Obviously, this is causing a lot of instability in various blue cities. And in fairness, some of the legal stances taken by Democratic attorney generals have only exasperated the situation. And to say nothing of the ongoing effects of neoliberalism and the homing crisis that this has created through, especially the whole rigged housing market right now. But again, this is another topic. But suffice to say, cities will probably be deliberately coerced into becoming more crime-ridden going into the elections. So anyway, that brings us into the big event here, the 2024 US presidential shit show. So it looks like Donald Trump is probably going to pull it out. Well, I shouldn't say probably. I mean, short of him being assassinated or some insane ruling by the Supreme Court, it seems all but certain he is going to be the Republican nominee. I mean, dear God, does anybody even want Haley as the candidate? As far as I can tell, virtually all of her support is coming from Democrats who are voting for her in primaries where you don't have to be affiliated with one party or other to vote in their primaries. So, yeah, that seems like a fait accompli. The big thing is whether or not Biden will actually be his opponent. And I am becoming a lot more weary of that notion because it definitely seems like Biden's mental instability is really being played up right now by the legacy media. You're seeing a lot of people throwing around words like dementia and so forth rather openly about Mr. Biden. So that probably doesn't bode well for him seeing his second term. Obviously, Biden is not going to drop out during the primary season. Probably this is partly due to the ongoing conflict within the party over Kamala Harris. I shouldn't say ongoing conflict. I don't think anybody in the party wants Harris as the next president, to put it mildly, but this would create a certain amount of awkwardness for them if Biden was to drop out during the primary season. The expectation would then be that the DNC would throw their support behind Harris as the vice president. But I do not think that they have any desire whatsoever to do outside of maybe a few groups within it. But yeah. So most likely, I suspect that after Biden has secured the nomination, he will resign. And then, through party procedures, the DNC will select a candidate who is not Kamala Harris, which again will cause controversy. But Harris will not have an entire primary season to stir up stuff. This will probably be done shortly before for the election, if it happens, so as to minimalize this, and the inevitable cries of racism can be somewhat countered by the claims that, I don't know, democracy in America will end, or some kind of Handmaiden's Tale-esque dictatorship is coming if Trump wins the election, which isn't to say that necessarily isn't. I'm just saying that we're basically splitting hairs over what kind of dictatorship that we're heading towards with either one of these clowns. But anyway, that will be a brief period of outrage over Harris being snubbed, which will in turn be countered by rallying party support against the orange one. So anyway, assuming that I'm correct and Biden doesn't make it through, the question is who is anointed as his successor? It seems that the most likely candidate is Gavin Newsom, the current California governor. There's been, what rumblings that once again, good old Hillary will be brought out of I shouldn't say out of the backstage because she's never really left it out of the wings or whatever. But yeah, again, I just Hillary is a loser. She's pretty much shown that time and again. I don't think at this point that anybody seriously wants her to try and run again. Michelle Obama, I think, is possibly a dark horse, but I think that they're waiting a little later to bring her back out, probably to minimalize the shit show that is the Biden administration and possible connections to the Obama presidency and so on and so forth. So, as far as Gavin is concerned, they already seem like they're starting to groom him, the DNC, that is to say, as the president. Again, exchange's recent visit to the United States and the ongoing negotiations with the PRC. It occurred in California, and Gavin has been taking a big role in general in a lot of the diplomacy with the PRC over the last year or so. Obviously, China is really the US's major concern going forward. I suspect that the DNC is trying to pursue some kind of detente with China so that they can focus on the European situation with Russia. So Newsom has started to take a central role in these efforts, and that would certainly put him at the forefront as a potential replacement for Biden. And of course, I mean, he has that whole classic white male president look and all this other kind of stuff going for him. He's got the California support, yada, yada, yada. I mean, really, on paper, he looks like the most ideal candidate at this point. Again, it's going to ruffle some feathers passing over Kamala Harris to put a white man in front of her. So who knows how that will play out. Maybe Harris is able to get a negotiation where she stays on as the vice president. But yeah, I think that the DNC is really going to forego whatever vestiges of democracy that they have left and just outright pick a candidate going forward. So it will be really interesting to see how the progressive left responds to this, as well as the ongoing support for Israel, and certainly whether or not Netanyahu decides to try and sway the election on one side or the other with all of this. Well, anyway, that is my early read on the glorious US presidential elections. I'm sure that we can all look forward to endless drama in the coming months ahead, so I don't want to get us too bogged down on that right now. And with that, I'm going to sign off for now. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for your support and listening. And with that, good night. Good luck to you all.